Well, my dear friends, it's great to see you all here again this beautiful morning as we gather around our God and His Word and His amazing grace and forgiveness for us. And so as we gather, let us remember the day that we were baptized, the day we were brought into this family of God, this day that we were made His and marked by Him, and our names were added to the Book of Life. In the name of and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, in that case, let us open with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this beautiful day. We thank you that you have brought us into your house, that you have gathered us around you, Lord, by the work of your Spirit, through your word and your sacraments. Lord, I pray that you would once again speak to us this morning, refresh us, Lord, help us to once again be able to understand and remember the grace that we have received from you through the forgiveness of sins of your Son. Thank you, Lord, for all of these things and bless our worship. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins. Please stand as we confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praises to this God who has so amazingly forgiven us once again.
Our next hymn will be the hymn that we've been singing for a whole month. We're doing this to kind of reintroduce. I mean, most people are familiar with these hymns, but we're just wanting to focus on one hymn each month. And this month, it's How Great Thou Art. It's my absolute favorite. It was our family's favorite. And so the scripture that goes with this week, Psalm 92:5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. And Psalm 86:9-10, all the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God.
Friends, the first reading for today is Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings?" Jesus replied, "Not one stone here will be left on another. everyone will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the signs that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginnings of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." All right, my friends, it is now time for the children's message. And the children's message this day is going to be led by...
It's me.
Brian Falls.
Come on down. All right. Do you know how you can be a helper today? By sitting politely and paying attention and being a good role model for all the other kids. He is not excited about that. Well, thanks for coming down this morning. It's nice to see you all. In today's first reading, Jesus and his disciples were noticing some of the big fancy temple buildings. And have any of you been like in a Capitol building or maybe in St. Louis where the buildings are really tall and beautiful and there's statues and people?
And the Arch.
Yeah, the Arch. These beautiful buildings. Oscar, what beautiful building have you seen or been in? Just like in St. Louis maybe? Yeah. So the disciples were noticing these big, beautiful temple buildings, and Jesus said, by the end, there won't be a single stone left standing on the other stones. And he says, you need to be prepared. And so when I was thinking about being prepared, I thought, what do I like to prepare for?
Hi.
So, yes, yeah, Sawyer and Sadie and Mrs. Laura and I, we love to be prepared for a good hike. Who else likes to go on a walk or a hike? Some of you, yeah, yeah. So what are some things that you bring on a hike? What's that? Mm-hmm. Yep. What about, yeah, Gavin? Water. Yep, that's a good one. And here's my water right here. I've got water so that I don't get too thirsty or dehydrated. What happens if it starts to rain? Yep, nice jacket, rain jacket. What else do I have in here? Oh, I got some stuff. Now, what happens if I get stuck out late at night? What would I need to make a fire to stay warm? Yeah, flint and steel would work, or maybe, matches. So there's dry wood with matches so I could light a fire.
Flint and steel would be better.
Do you get hungry on hikes or walks?
Yeah.
So I got some granola or mix there. Oh, I might want to make a walking stick or something. So I got a knife, I could carve a walking stick. Oh, and you want to be able to see at night. So I've got a headlamp, it's a flashlight. I even made sure it worked, just in case. So that's some stuff that I prepare to take on a hike. But what do you think we need to be prepared for in our lives and our Christian faith and walk? Oh, now, who took the Bible? Oh, there we go.
Sadie took the Bible.
Oh, okay. Okay, so why would we need a Bible to be prepared for our walk with Jesus in our life?
Because it's good.
It's good, that's right.
It's the
word. Now, I grabbed a first aid kit. That's also what I take on a hike. But this one doesn't have a big white cross on it. Have you ever seen a first aid kit and it has a big white cross on it? Yeah. So that... We're good. So the first aid for our lives is what we read in the Bible. And Jesus heals us. We have sin that keeps us from being close to Him and close to others. And when we read the Bible and hear about Jesus and Him dying on the cross to forgive our sins, we know that we will be prepared for the end, even when it's scary. Even if there's an earthquake or somebody you love passes away, we know that we can rely on the God, on the Word of God, because it is the first aid for our lives, just like we take a first aid kit on a hike.
It's the real first aid kit.
It's the real first aid kit, yes. Thank you, Sawyer. You're a good helper. Can we pray? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your word and how it prepares us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. And I see Mrs. Norris has the cross for little worship. And I'll pack up and turn it over to Pastor Bob.
Hey, thank you so much, Brian. All right, kiddos. And my dear friends, it is now time to open the scriptures for the sermon today, and that is coming out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time," says the Lord. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope which we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, my friends, Hebrews is an interesting book. It's a general epistle. The other epistles, the more specific epistles, are the epistles that were written to a specific church. You know, Corinthians written to the church in Corinth, Thessalonians written to the church in Thessalonica. You get the idea, right? This was the book written to the Hebrews, but it was kind of written to all the people of God, and it serves as a wonderful way for us to get a grip and understand what God was doing in the Old Testament. The reason this book was written is because God's people were struggling. This was written, they figure, just before the temple was destroyed, before 70 AD, and there was a lot of stuff going on in the church. As Paul was running around starting churches, there were people who followed Paul, and they were called the Judaizers. And the idea was Paul would come to town and he would teach pure grace. You know, it is by grace you are saved through faith and not of works that no one can boast. I mean, the really, really simple gospel message. And he didn't have a different gospel for different people. It was one gospel for everybody, whether you were a Jew or a Greek or anybody, male, female, doesn't make any difference. One gospel. Well, then these Judaizers came behind, and they basically were kind of on the same line as the Christians. They only had one little extra thing that they wanted to add in, that before you could take advantage of the forgiveness that Jesus earned, you had to first be kind of at least a little bit Jewish. Okay? I mean, they were kind of weak on how Jewish you had to be. I mean, they kind of minimized it a little bit. You didn't have to go full bore Jewish, but you had to be at least somewhat. And so they said you had to be circumcised. Well, that really confused a lot of Gentile Christians. It really made a lot of mess in the church, and pretty soon, and Paul actually later dealt with it in the Galatians when he said that if you add anything to the gospel, anything at all, if you make one rule that you must follow in order to be saved, you are no longer under grace but under the law once again, and now you have to follow all the laws. So Paul was being rather clear about where, you know, they stood on this, but this conflict of how do we deal with the Old Testament? You know, how do we deal with, I mean, it feels like, and I think a lot of times Christians think that the Jewish religion in the Old Testament and the Christian religion in the New Testament are almost like completely different religions. But that's not really true. What's happening is, well, let's explore it in the text for today, what's exactly happening here. And so he starts and he's talking about what the priests did in the Old Testament, right? And so the priest would, every day, they would stand and perform sacrifices, religious duties, again and again offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. And you guys have heard about these sacrifices, right? And there was, this sacrificial system was very complex, and there were different sacrifices for a whole bunch of different things. You know, every time a woman had her first male son, she had to redeem that son, and they had to redeem that son with a sacrifice, and it was like prorated on the basis of your income. If you were wealthy, it was like a goat, and if you were poor, it could be a couple of doves. You know what I mean? And it was, but you had to redeem the son because the first always belongs to God. And that was the message that God was trying to teach the people with that, is that the first child belongs to me. You need to redeem that child from me. And then there was the sacrifices for sin. There were grain offerings, thank offerings. There were just offerings and offerings and offerings. And the priests would do these sacrifices constantly, and they would do them over and over and over. Now, the most important sacrifices in the Jewish faith were, of course, the sacrifices for sin. And the biggest sacrifice of all of those was the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, when the sin of the priest, he would sacrifice for his own sin, the high priest. And then once he was purified, he would then sacrifice for the people. And then on that day, he would take some of the blood of that sacrifice, the sacrifice that he had made for the people, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. Okay, in the temple, there was the big room, which was the holy place, and then behind the curtain, in the front, where the Ark of the Covenant sat, was the Holy of Holies, this unbelievably special place, the most clean place of all. And only one person could go there once a year. And his job was to sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the mercy seat. And it was a really huge festival, a huge celebration, a huge service. And even though it was such a profound thing, it had to be done every year, because the people constantly needed forgiveness. And not only was that sacrifice done every year, but there were other sacrifices for sin that were done even more frequently. And what the writer of the Hebrews is talking about in this text is, he's saying, listen, here's what's going on. These sacrifices in the Old Testament had no power in themselves. You know, killing an animal is not able to take away sin. There is nothing that the priests were doing like a good work, like if we obey God, like if we do these certain things, then like we're going to be covered and everything is good. That's not what was going on. What was going on is that in this sacrifice, God gave the promise for the forgiveness of sins. But where did that forgiveness of sins come from? It comes from Jesus. There is only one sacrifice that gives the forgiveness of sins. And what the what God was doing with the in the Old Testament is he was pointing people forward toward the coming Messiah. And he was saying, on the basis of the one who will come, that one that we are looking forward to, that one that we don't know a lot about yet. I mean, it's kind of funny when Jesus was walking around and he was explaining to people, yeah, all this stuff in the Old Testament, it's happening right now and it's about me. And Matthew, over and over in his gospel, he says, and this happened to fulfill the prophecy that came in the Old Testament. And it was like, it's like we're being shown this over and over and over. And in the book of Hebrews, which is basically a New Testament commentary on all the Old Testament stuff. And what he's saying is this, you guys are saved through this work, because of the faith that you have in the promise of God, that God is going to send that Messiah, the sacrifice of all sacrifices, the sacrifice that all those other sacrifices were pointing to and depended upon, so that the people of God could be forgiven. Isn't that amazing? And so now, here's the thing, is that now, do we have something like that? Do we have something that we do often that we get forgiveness of sins through that points to the death and resurrection of Christ? Anything come to your mind? It's right there. Right, exactly. We're going to celebrate it in a little bit. Guys, this is the New Testament version of the Old Testament sacrifice. Now, are we sacrificing Jesus when we take communion? No, that's not at all what's going on. What's going on is that Jesus, that we are, this forgiveness of sins that we receive through this incredible gift of God's body and blood, is the forgiveness we get here does not come because we do something good, because we're obeying God, because we're doing something that God told us to do. That's not why we're being forgiven. The forgiveness that comes from this meal comes directly from Jesus' death and resurrection, and through the faith that the Holy Spirit gives us, that trust in his promise. And so you see how this works, is that the Old Testament is not a completely different religion. It is the religion that was looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And now we are on the same faith, the same God, the same salvation event that ties the both halves of history together. We are looking back at that. And so this is the image that God is having for us, is that we have this the coming of Jesus basically divides history in half. I mean, it just chops it right in half. I mean, what the world was like before Jesus came, and what we know and what the world is like after Jesus came, is shockingly different. But on the other hand, it's the same God. It's the same God who is planning, who is revealing, who is sending prophets to give clues and hints and prophecies about the one that was coming. And now we have the apostles and the evangelists in the New Testament who are giving us the word of God and telling us what God has already done. And so this is exciting. I mean, it's really amazing, because what this does is I hope you understand that our history didn't begin when Jesus came to earth. The history of God's people began at the very beginning. You know, when in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and on the seventh or on the sixth day God created Adam and then Eve. And as God's people, God has been actively involved in our history. He has been leading us and guiding us. He has been stepping us through every single trouble, every turmoil, every time of questioning because things aren't going the way we thought they would. Every time that the people of God wandered away from him and he would call them back, usually through some sort of a difficult time, and then he would rescue them once again and restore them to himself. This God has been doing this since the beginning. And does he still do it today? Yeah. This God continues. This God who has never, in all the thousands of years that this earth has been around, God has never lost his focus. You know, he's never got distracted or you decided to try a different thing. He always was focused on his people. And it's so comforting to know that the God of history is still focused on us. That when we start to wander, does he call us back? Does he send his word to us in the mouths of people? Do we read his word and are convicted by the work of the Spirit? Is it through something that doesn't go right in your life that all of a sudden God is like, you know, gets your attention again and brings you back and draws you back to him? This is what he does. And so, folks, as we move into the future, we can't forget the future. You know, in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system was all pointing toward the Messiah, the coming Messiah, that one who is coming. And now we look back to when Jesus came, but we are also looking forward as well. You know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice was that big thing that was center stage. Now today, it's this meal, God's word, baptism. These are the things that are center stage, the things that God has promised to work through to help his people. And communion is also very much looking forward. In addition to it being the remembrance meal, you know, that we remember what Jesus did on the cross, and in addition to it being the vessel for forgiveness, that through this body and blood we are forgiven, but God also tells us that it's the first fruits of the heavenly banquet, that this meal is the beginning of what we are going to celebrate when our Messiah comes again on that last day. And he says, folks, it's going to be hard. I mean, during these days, the Hebrews were, the Christians were struggling. They had the Judaizers, causing trouble within the church. Then they had persecutions causing trouble from outside the church. They were having a tough time of it. And Paul, the writer of Hebrews basically said, we don't know it was Paul. I keep saying Paul, but I think it maybe might have been, but we don't really know. He says this. He says that we ought to consider how we may spur one another on toward good love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I think this has a very focused and specific message for us right now today, that we are gathered around Jesus and his forgiveness. But we've had this crazy past couple years when the church has been scattered a bit. People were afraid to go out, and people stayed home, and people watched on TV, and then they kind of didn't watch on TV, and slowly the habits that kept us all faithful and kept us coming to church all of a sudden have dropped away. And a lot of our brothers and sisters are kind of drifting right now. And I don't say that in a judging way. I say that in a concerned way. Because how long are you going to live if you don't eat, right? And how can we be healthy if we're not gathered together around the one who gives us health and forgiveness? And how is our mind not going to be turned by the world if our mind isn't constantly being set straight by God's word? And how are we going to be strong in this world and if we don't have the encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ? And so I want to encourage you. I'm trying to do it, but there's just one of me. And I've got a lot going on, and it's really, really hard to do everything. And so I need help, because the work of the church is not supposed to be done by a pastor, where the work of the church is supposed to be done by the church, right? And I'm here to help and to teach and to guide, but on the other hand, I need help. I can't do it alone. But as we just think about this verse. You know, as let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How can we reach out? How can we reconnect? Not judging, not mean, but out of love and Christian concern for our brothers and sisters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you. We thank you that you have made us your children, that you have forgiven our sins, Lord. Unbelievable freedom and forgiveness when we deserve none of that. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. Help us, Lord, to be able to remember, Lord, that you are the one that brought us here through thousands of years of planning and execution, through the care of your people, and that you still continue to care for your people today. And Lord, I pray that as we move forward, that we would anticipate the day that you are coming again, and that we would encourage one another as we see the day approach. Thank you, Lord, for your great love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us continue our worship service as God has made us glad in our being his people. Please stand as we sing.
Just in that old time.
My friends, let us confess our faith. And you might wonder why we do this every week. I mean, this is kind of a strange thing, right? I mean, we come in, we ask for forgiveness, God forgives us. That makes sense. But then why at this point in the service do we always have to do the creed? It just seems like, you know, what's the big deal? Well, here it is. We get a lot of weird messages from the world. We get a lot of strange stuff, you know. People who don't like the bodies God gave them, people who, you know, don't like the property God gave them, the gifts that God gave them, that God gave them other people more, other people less, whatever. That we balk at the experience of life because we say this isn't right, this isn't fair, and we wish it was different. Well, thing is that when we do this part of the creed for it, especially. What we're acknowledging is, where does all this stuff come from? From God. And is everything a blessing? Even if we don't have as much as somebody else, did God give us enough? You know, and that we should be grateful to God for the things that we have and not always complaining about the things that we don't and not always wishing and wanting something different than what God has gifted us with, and to acknowledge that he is God and we are not, and he is pretty smart and can figure out what it is that we actually do need. Right? It's kind of helpful. And so that's at least in part one of the reasons why we do especially this, the meaning of this article. All right? And so this is the meaning of the first article in Martin Luther's Small Catechism. Let's confess. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He graciously forgives me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you once again that you have brought us into your house and that you have gathered us in your presence, that you have lavished your forgiveness and grace and mercy and love upon us once again. Lord, help us to be able to cling to that truth, the truth of your grace, the truth of your forgiveness, Lord. And Lord, help us to be able to remember that, Lord, especially when the devil comes and tries to disrupt our peace and keep us, Lord, from being able to rest in your grace. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the people in our congregation. Lord, there are people who are struggling, people who are looking forward to surgery, people who are recovering from surgery, people who are have long-term symptoms from COVID, people who are struggling currently with COVID. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with all of our people at St. Mark's, Lord, and within our community. Continue to give them health and healing, Lord. You are the great physician, the one who knows us. Lord, I pray that you would give us all that we need as it pertains to our health. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us also as we do our ministries, Lord, as we live as your people in this world, whether that be as a father, mother, son, daughter, boss or employee, that you would bless our work and bless our lives and help us, Lord, to live out your expectations, Lord, in a way that would be a witness to the people around us. Lord, I pray that you would give us words to say give us the wisdom of knowing when to speak and the courage to speak when the time is right so that we may share this incredible message of your love. Lord, I pray that we would not love with words only, but with actions as well, that we would serve the people around us, that we would sacrifice our time and energy to do things for people, Lord, so that we are not just speaking of your love, but acting your love out the way you acted this love out and sacrificed for us. Lord, I pray that you would bless our families. Lord, I pray that the children would be able to learn from their parents, Lord, the truths of your word and their value in your sight and their unbelievable forgiveness, Lord, that we all enjoy because of your great love. I pray that that the adults in our church would be continually in your word, Lord, continually deepening their understanding of your promises so that they have things to pass to each other and to the children. Lord, I pray that you would help the children to be able to learn from their parents, that they would have eager minds, Lord, and minds that have been converted by you and to love your word so that they want to know more, always want to know more. Lord, we thank you that you have planted us in a most amazing place in the world and in a wonderful time, a time when we enjoy such freedom, Lord. We pray that you would help us to use our freedom responsibly, that we would use it in a way that is a blessing to others and brings glory to you. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Today is a big Sunday for some of us. We had another class for preparing young people for taking this amazing gift of Holy Communion. God tells us that this is this meal is something that's really amazing. It's really powerful, and it's really powerful because of what it is. Jesus took bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body." And that's a pretty significant thing because not just of the words said, but because of who is saying it. The same God who said, "Let there be light," on the first day, is speaking the same word of God that he spoke when he told his disciples, "This is my body." And God's words change things, right? God's words make things happen. And so because this is such a big deal that we are receiving his body, and then later he took the cup that was full of wine and he said, "This is my blood." And because God's word changes things, we say, okay, that's what it is then. And because we are receiving the very body and blood of God, and that through this body and blood of God, we are promised forgiveness of sins, this is a really big deal. And actually, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it actually gives us some warnings about this meal too. And it says that if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord, which is probably something we don't want to do, right? And later on, he says, right after that, he says, if you eat and drink without acknowledging the body of the Lord, you eat and drink judgment on yourself, which again is probably not something we want to do. And so being very careful with this amazing gift that God has given us, we carefully instruct our children so that they can receive this gift, as I say every week, as the blessing God intends it to be and not as something that would hurt us, right? And this is exactly what we're talking about. And so these young people have been through an instruction process and then later on had to come in and individually interview with me to make sure that they actually remembered all the stuff they did, because if it's important enough, it's important enough to quiz them, right? And so these kids have been through this process, and I'd like to invite them forward at this time with their parents, and they will have their first communion today. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you. My dear friends, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation is given through this amazing gift of his body and blood. As we have received this gift, and as is, we know that our God is true to his word, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing one final song of thanksgiving to our God. My dear friends, please be seated. We got a couple of announcements today. First of all, I have to call forward Denise Kasten, who is going to tell us about an opportunity we have to care for people in our community.
Thank you. I've been thinking about this all week. I've been so excited that I get to come up and talk to you guys. So I just want to explain about these tags and about holiday giving and just Cornerstone Ministries. And I hope you understand by now that Cornerstone is a combination of flood relief, Leslie's Home, Benevolence Fund. It's all wrapped up into one thing. And we called it Cornerstone because Christ is our cornerstone. And that's the message we're trying to get out into the community. So first, I just want to say these tags have a date on them to return by December 5th. And that might seem a little unreasonable to you, but the reason is because we only have 3 Saturdays in December this year. And so in order to get these things out to the families so that they know their kids are going to have something under the tree and we're going to be able to share the love of Jesus with them and have some time to spend and talk, we need them back as early as possible. So if you're a little late, I'm not going to say we won't take it and I won't deliver it, but this would just be awesome if you could get it back by the 5th. I also want to tell you that some of them do not have sizes or ages, and that might be a little confusing, but the reason is because we're sharing them with a lot of different ministries this year, and so we're really excited about that. We've done that the last couple years, but I didn't really explain that to you. There's about 25 families receiving Thanksgiving cards this last week, and next week I'll be delivering all those. And they are $50 cards so that they can be helped with dinner for their families. So God has really shown us favor in the eyes of many other ministries and nonprofits in Eureka and outside of Eureka. And the reason, so these cards, we didn't even pay for those. Someone else did. But we are working with members of Eureka Disaster Relief Committee, like Not in Our Backyard, St. Vincent de Paul, the Elks, the Lions, and all the other animals. We're working with Realty Executives. So they do a big toy collection, and whatever's left over, she lets us bring the trailer over and load it up. We've done that for 3 years. And then we're also working with other organizations that are reaching out and helping families. Piece by Piece out in House Springs, you might know them. My Life Crisis Pregnancy Center, the House of Hope, and also the Women's Safe House in the city of St. Louis. So some of these things that you bring back are going to go to those places. So if it doesn't say a name an age or a size, it's because it's going to just be a generic gift that goes to one of our other partner ministries. So not only are we helping people at Christmas, we help people all year long, you know that, but we also join with some of these other groups to do that. So right now, if you happen to know anyone with a used car, I would love to talk to you after church. And we have money because I've sent an email, and we have money coming from other groups in Eureka who will help pay for this car for a hardworking lady. She's a hairdresser. She's received one of the homes that we repaired. She paid for it in full, making excellent choices in her life. And we just want to bless her because the car she has is beyond repair at this point. So if you know anyone, that would be awesome. Okay, also, here's the thing. Let me make sure I set everything off of here. Yes, I did. Okay, so it's really important to be here. We love being here together, and we're fellowshipping, and we go to Bible study, and we are in worship. But I guess what I want to ask you is, when you get up out of your comfortable pew and you walk through the doors of this beautiful sanctuary, what will you do today, this week, this month, to show God's love to someone else? Maybe you've already picked up Operation Christmas Child box, and that's awesome. That's a great thing to do. Maybe you've taken a tag off the tree. Thank you for that. Maybe you have committed to praying for a family in need. That's awesome. Those are all really great things. And I want to mention the coat collection. So if you have coats, bring those in. We're distributing those also to our partner ministries. There are also opportunities just to come to Advent services, be here on Wednesday nights, and bring a pot of soup. I guess what I want to say is Colossians 3:23 tells us, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. And that's our goal with Cornerstone Ministries, is we are always working for the Lord. We are praying with the people that we're not Santa Claus with these. We're taking the gifts. That's just a open door. Just allows us into their life and into their home. So we can pray with them, talk about Jesus, let them know God loves them, let them know we have a church family that wants to embrace them and love them. That's why we do this. So, and then in the end of 24, it says, it is the Lord you're serving, and so we will never lose sight of that. Thank you for letting me talk, and I know we have more stuff to do, so I'm going to go.
Thank you. God's blessed our church in many ways. One of them is her. She's a dynamo, man. She gets these things done, and it is really, really awesome. So if you can help out with those our outreach ministries and our human care ministries, where we're just taking care of these wonderful people God created, and it can be anything from donating appliances, furniture, clothes, anything good, no junk for Jesus type stuff, you know. But she's nodding. Yeah, it happens sometimes. Anyway, but the thing is yeah, good stuff so that we can give it to people and make it a real gift of love or time. If you guys are led to help in the community, please let us know. And that could be anything from just being willing to do a construction project if you're available when it comes, because every once in a while somebody's roof falls in or they need a new porch or something, and we can jump on that. And we've done a lot of building projects. Or if you are wanting to help care for somebody and just go out and be a companion for somebody and pray with them and help them, you know, coach them through life, there's a lot of opportunities out there. All right? With that, we have one more thing to do this morning. Now, here's the deal. How do you plan a party for the person who plans all the parties? We have somebody in our congregation, another amazing gift that God has given us, Lauren, who is having a birthday this coming week. And you can tell that the person who plans the parties, that would be me, if it's not her, didn't do a very good job, because last year was her 40th birthday. So this year is her 41st birthday, but we're making it big, right? Because, yeah, and it wasn't me that planned it this time. It was, it was her. Anyway, she doesn't want to be named, but it was her. Yeah. Anyway, basically, we want to make sure Lauren knows that we love her and we appreciate all the things that she does, and that and we want to do it by standing up and singing "Happy Birthday" to her. So everybody, stand up.
I was kidding. Thank you guys so much. I always feel very loved and appreciated here, and I feel very blessed to serve St. Mark. So this is above and beyond. So thank you very much, you guys. Thank you.
To giving her hugs and stuff, and in addition to congratulating all those the young people who had their first communion today, we have cookies for the first communion kids and cupcakes for Lauren's birthday. So eat up. All right? God's blessings.